At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Well, 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 good morning and welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio. We have a comeback, special guest, as always, with a little different topic for her specialty. She has been on our shows about a month ago, a little over a month ago, and we discussed digital marketing. And today we're gonna go literally all the way out to her background and her other career life. And she's going to talk to us about something that is probably dear to us in the last year and even going forward in our lives because of COVID and the pandemic. Breathing correctly, filtration, oxygenating, air circulation, air quality, all that good stuff has been a big concern. And so we're going to try to bust some of the myths. We'll talk about some of the things based on Monique Idimundia's experience prior to her digital world, which probably goes with her a whole life. So again, with us today, I was talking all like in secret and almost like in a very ambiguous way, but we have Monique Idimundia with us today. She's back. She is the president of the Dragon Digital Marketing. So if anyone wants to get into the online digital marketing, all the aspect of it, please seek her, services. She is great at what she does. All right. But we had a conversation, and part of the conversation, I was trying to figure out her background. And it was interesting that she had a whole different world of understanding of building filtrations and filters and all that stuff. And I'm not even sure what the terminology and the technical terms would be, but I'm going to leave her to give us all that good, juice and content and insights. So Monique, welcome back.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
By the way, Monique, I'm following you. On LinkedIn, I see you on all the different podcasts. So keep up the great work and just keep doing what you're doing. So Monique, I know last time we talked about digital marketing. We talked about the different aspects of digital marketing, and it's a lot of good stuff. And we talked about how you can do business. But today, as I had mentioned in the introduction, we're going to be talking a little bit about your previous career or previous knowledge. So let's go back in time. How did you get involved in that world? And what is that world exactly?
Yes. So I worked in the filtration industry for a while, for a pretty long time, 5 years. And I did marketing there. So I still was a digital marketer. I was a digital marketer for a filtration company. And I learned a lot about filtration during that time in HVAC and industrial filtration, as well as, protecting people and their living spaces and all of that. And it's all about, purifying the air, purifying the water, just purifying environments to protect people, to make sure everybody stays healthy. that's what it's all about.
Well, it is obviously tight, with the current events or this last few months events. I mean, certainly since the beginning of the pandemic, air quality, filtration, there's this fear, where do I go? The buildings that we've seen articles, we've seen posts, we've seen even media talking about quality of air, building filtration, changing filters, doing this, everything that has to be, I guess, viral compliant or viral, what do you call it? Proof, virus proof, I would say. So let's go about what are the different types of filtration. I mean, there's water filtration, air filtration. There's some people, work in these massive buildings, and pretty much the whole air. I mean, there's no windows, everything's shut down. So there's a lot of that. So take us back on that journey and give us a little bit of breakdown on how it all works.
Right. So basically, there are three fundamental states of matter, and you can filter that. So there's air filtration, then there's liquid filtration, and then there's gas filtration. So yeah, that's basically what you can do. Or you can filter solid particles as well. So it's basically a solid, liquid, or gaseous. Air qualifies as a gas technically, but in the industry we differentiate that a little bit. When we talk about gases, we typically talk about like gases from chemical processes that are not air, basically, right? So and that's what you can filter. Yeah, and then there's different filters and there's different filtration mechanisms to filter out the stuff that we do not want in subsequent process steps.
So ultimately, quality of air means quality of oxygenated in your body, better brain, better function, better health, you know, the whole works, right? So it is a big deal. And talking about air, we can't live without it, ultimately. I mean, air and water, I mean, that's basic elements, right? So and both of them somehow, you know, especially in the light of the pandemic, you know, people are concerned. There has been so many theories and different things. And, you know, in the beginning, people were skeptical about the virus. And then people got serious about it. We were told there was no need for a mask. It was only for medical, you know, and you know, first, you know, I guess responders. And then ultimately, they, you know, the directives, you know, worldwide was, hey, let's put masks on. But then recently, we also heard about, you know, now the regular masks don't really work. You need to double them up at least, you know, to get a better, you know, potency, right? But people, that's on the mask, right? And then some of these masks are made for industrial, you know, use. Some of the masks are used for like surgeons and medical space. We talk about N95. Are they 100? I mean, I'm not sure how much you know, but are they really that good?
Yes, they're really that good. That's the short answer. The long answer is that, you know, bacteria, viruses, fungal spores, everything that's in the air, they're solid particles, right? They're physically there. They exist. They're very tiny, so they're on a micro scale. Their size is like the fraction of a millimeter. So they're like, really part of the microcosm. That's what we talk about. So they're really tiny, but they physically exist. So if there's something in their way, so to speak, that they can't pass through, so you have a mask in front of your nose and mouth, and they physically can't pass through because it's an obstacle for them, and they stick to that surface and can't enter your system. It protects you. And there's different fabrics and different filtration media that are basically designed to filter out different types of particles depending on how coarse or how fine a particle or a virus or bacteria, whatever it is. So viruses are really, really small. They're on the back end of the spectrum, so to speak. So there's not a lot of things on this planet that are smaller than viruses. They're a lot smaller than bacteria. They're a lot smaller than the cells in our body. Even that's why they can attack them and they can, you know, penetrate inside and cause damage there. So you need a really, really fine and densely packed material that the masks are made of that almost looks like a solid surface where nothing can pass through to really make sure that it doesn't let any viruses through. And the N95 masks have a filter medium that is made out of a material that doesn't let viruses pass through, whereas other masks like the regular surgical masks, or if you take like normal fabric like this and you maybe DIY a mask from like an old t-shirt or blouse or whatever, they have a lot coarser grid of mesh, so to speak, how the fibers are are woven together or spun together or knitted together. There's different techniques how you can make the fabric too, right? And yeah, the N95 masks, they're basically designed to not let viruses pass through. for the naked eye, you may not always be able to see the difference, but you can definitely see it under a microscope that they're a lot more densely packed and they will not let any viruses through to 99.999, whatever percent. So they're pretty safe and they keep you safe, and it works to wear them because it's a physical thing. So the viruses exist, they're there, they're just really small. And if they have a barrier that they can't pass through, then they can't pass through there. It's basically like a sieve. Yeah.
Well, it's again, the reason I asked the question is that, you know, the problem with the N95 is that they're limited in terms of who can get them. Even access wise, I mean, to buy an N95 right now is almost like very difficult to do. So a lot of people tend to just buy the pack, you know, either the blue ones, like surgical masks, and some of them are not even surgical grade or medical grade. So they're not really, to your point, I mean, if you literally look at the sun, you probably can see some race, you know, in some of those. And, you know, some people like show tests where they blow into a candle and you can see that the candle can actually get, you know, turn, you know, shut down, whatever. So it put out. So it's very, you know, interesting because everybody now is relying on masks. And I mean, until the full immunization scale happens, masks are going to be still part of our lifestyle, right? And I hope that eventually it will disappear. But until then, you know, we have no choice. But people are still, and we've seen throughout the whole course of the year, despite the masks and all the precautions and the social distancing, we still had, you know, cases that were in the uprise. And they've been, you know, I mean, right now it's a little getting better. But for a minute, you know, it was just like back to where in the beginning of the pandemic. And so could it be, I mean, had we had, for example, just in your opinion, more N95s, would we had maybe avoided, you know, some of the problems that occurred later on? I think that's the answer for me is yes. But unfortunately, we had no choice, right? Also, some people may say, well, it's not working for me because, you know, I can't breathe in the mask. And then there was also controversial, you know, elements out there in the world that everybody says, well, mask, you are breathing back your carbon monoxide and whatever, and it's not healthy. And there was a big debate, I mean, in social media, talking about digital marketing, there were posts that were put down, there was Facebook, you know, then there was like fact checking. So it became a whole different topic of the hour, and it still is to a degree. So what would you say about that? I mean, just from an experience, at least, you know, it may be in the clients, maybe in the digital world, have you heard anything? I mean, have you seen anything that is unique about this whole process?
Right. So the masks are basically like a super dense sieve that is supposed to, you know, capture pollutants like viruses and prevent them from entering your system. But it does have tiny holes inside. It's not like a solid wall. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to breathe through it at all. So it does let some air through, and it does have some tiny holes in the structure, like every material, every fabric has, because it consists of fibers, and a lot of fibers together make up the surface of any material. So that's just the nature of it. It wouldn't be like a woven or a non-woven material if it didn't consist of fibers and it was just like a piece of plastic, like a face shield or something, for example, is. But it's just the fact that it lets less air pass through than without the mask, right? There's a physical barrier in front of your face that protects you from viruses, which also means that it allows less air to pass through. And for most people, it shouldn't cause any problems. Obviously, if you do your grocery shopping with it, you go outside, take a walk, whatever, wear your mask when you're going to the mall or anywhere, basically, when you're not outside. But in some areas, you even have to wear them when you're outside. I've heard that where there's a lot of cases. But when you're doing normal activities, you're not running or working out in them or whatever, where you're breathing more heavily, it shouldn't cause problems. But of course, there's some people with pre-existing health conditions that have difficulty to breathe with masks, and it may be impossible for them to breathe with the mask. But I think if the majority of people who can wear them and they don't have issues wearing them other than, you know, the inconvenience of having to wear them, but no actual, medical reason, then it still helps a lot. you know, every little bit helps. And it's like a chain reaction. If you can prevent one person from being infected, you protect dozens, maybe even hundreds of people down the line if you stop the chain reaction at some point. So it definitely helps, yes.
So we'll kind of link the mask topic to the filtration as a whole. Now, before the pandemic, I mean, you know, you go to Home Depot and some of these places, they sell these larger masks, you know, the 3M masks that are more like big filters for industrial stuff. Are they very, you know, similar to massive filtration systems? I mean, they're just basically portable ones for the human body, but, you know, they have these masks that were actually good. They disappeared from the market. It's hard to get them now if you wanted those. I mean, it's like, it's funny. A couple of years ago, I was just playing with something. I'm looking at the masks, and you know, you get all these radiation masks and all the Cold War masks that they were selling online. Now, you can't even find those, and I've seen people actually wearing those in the street. You know, some of the folks that may have had them, and they're like basically a full headgear with these massive, you know, filters, and they walk with it. And then now we've seen also a trend in some fancier masks that have a little bit of a filtration, you know, device on the side or something like a plastic, you know, airflow. I mean, are those really in your, based on your experience working in the industry, are those actually as good as, you know, maybe the N95s?
And they have the same classification. So there's different classes of filters, right? And it depends on how much stuff they basically let pass through and how densely they're packed. So for example, the normal mask, like the surgical mask and the non-surgical mask at all that you make yourself from materials that you have at your house, they still allow less particles and viruses and stuff to pass through because there's still a physical barrier, just not as many, right? So the N95 masks are designed to let almost nothing pass through, and you just lower your protection step by step. The lower the filter class it is that you're wearing on your face to protect yourself. So everything helps a little bit. It's just, yeah, the demand is just crazy high right now and supply can't keep up, right? So it's hard to get your hands on them, but if you can, you just protect yourself more if you have those, but you still protect yourself if you wear anything. Of course, it's less, but it's still protection. So it's still better than wearing none at all.
Something is better than nothing. That's right. So that's in terms of personal gear, right? That's, we're talking about just the, I wear my mask, you wear your mask. We all kind of help the purpose, right? But now for people that live maybe in suburbia or some more open areas, it's a little different. But people that live in condensed cities and metropolitan areas, and especially in buildings, high rises, as I had stated earlier, I mean, they do share the same building, the same air, in a lot of these places. So let's talk about that industrial, you know, grade level that is in the building. How does that system, the HVAC, you know, kind of program works in general in terms of like the unit, the filtration? How often is it even recommended to maybe change those building filters? Is that even good to help people really get a better air in their apartments?
Yeah. So the principles basically are always the same. You have the filter, it's a physical barrier, and it captures stuff on the surface or even in the depth of the filter medium. And then at the end, purified air comes out, right? So you start with the dirty air, so to speak, the polluted air, and then there's a filter as the barrier, and then behind the filter, you have the purified air coming out, and that works through an airflow. So you need an airflow for filtration to work. So the air has to be directed through ducts and through the filtration system of the building to pass through the filter with a specific air pressure with a specific velocity for it to work. And those filtration systems are, designed for that. So they're optimized for a specific air pressure, for a specific stream velocity, and so on and so forth. So you can't put any filter in any filtration system, and everything has to, just be aligned and designed to work together. And yeah, that's what the professionals who set those up do. And it has to, a filter has to be changed when you just can't guarantee the full efficiency anymore. So at some point, if it's too full, basically with stuff that it has collected, it needs to be changed. And that depends on, you know, how, what a purity level you want, like what are you okay with, right? Do you want 99% or are you okay with 95% of the efficiency, or are you okay with like 80% of the efficiency left? So that depends on the standards that you have, basically. Yeah, how often you want to change it.
Wow. So I mean, in general, if the building maintenance is done correctly and there's oversight, I mean, people should be comfortable enough that, you know, the system will do the right thing for them. Obviously, they have to take precautions, and, you know, I mean, again, when we're talking buildings, I mean, you do share, you know, common hallways and elevators and stairways with other folks. So definitely when you walk out of your apartment, you have to be, you know, taking all the precautionary, you know, necessary steps that you need. But so that's interesting. Now, the industry itself, I mean, how large is it? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's a pretty large industry. There's a lot of areas in this world, a lot of industries in this world that have a need for filtration. So it's not just, you know, in our personal lives, like face masks, or you may know this, air purifiers that you can put in your room, or humidifiers, mm-hmm. or whatever, or filters that you have, and let's say cigarettes, or your AC that you have at home, things like that. Or like there's filters and laser printers that protect you from the,
See, I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know? Yeah, so it would be threatening your health if there like wasn't a filter inside that laser printer when it prints, basically. So there are some, or like even vacuum cleaners, like they have filters inside. So there's a lot of different appliances in our everyday life as consumers where you need filtration. But there's also a lot of industrial applications that have to do with, you know, sustainability, protecting the environment, preventing pollutants to reach the outside air, basically, and pollute our environment. Like we see in a lot of Asian countries where there's a lot of pollution, and people like long before COVID had to wear masks stepping outside their house because there was so much smog and stuff in the air and things like that. And then it's also about optimizing processes. Sometimes you just need cleaner air to have more products that make it through the quality standard. Let's say, for example, when cars are painted, right, in the industrial painting industry, if there is a lot of particles and stuff in the air, it causes paint defects. Like you can see it, it's not perfectly painted, right? There's little imperfections, little bumps, little whatever, if there's dust or grains of whatever in the air, and just mix with the paint as it's sprayed on the surface. So the cleaner the air is, the less paint defects you have, and the more parts are perfectly painted, so you don't have to scrap them. You just optimize your process, you lose less money, you just improve the entire process. So that would be a great example. Or in the food industry, if you have super clean air, you have less food spoilage, so you have more food that you can sell to the supermarkets or the end consumers or whatever, and your food will have a longer shelf life because, you know, within the packaging, like there's no particles that would cause it to spoil earlier and, pollute that, so to speak. So there's a lot of different applications that you wouldn't think of as just a normal everyday person that require filtration. And yeah, it's a pretty large industry. It's oftentimes also required. There's regulations that have to be met. There's only a certain amount of pollutants that can be in the air when you like blow it out, basically out of the plant, out of the production hall and stuff like that. And it's controlled. So there's government regulations on, you know,
Was that DEP and or EPA?
Excuse me.
Was that DEP, EPA, that kind of those kind of agencies?
Yeah, that, and then for the food industry, it's the FDA that regulates it. So yeah, sometimes it's just also environmental groups, just standards in the EU. I believe that they have a standard that has to do with some climate certificates, and like each country has agreed to like only have this certain amount of CO2 emissions or whatever emissions, according to like their size or how many people live there, so whatever. So there's a bunch of different standards what's allowed. Also, when it comes to waters, you can't just, lead any chemical waste that you have into the rivers or into the ocean. So there's regulations for that too. It has to be filtered. So they still can do that and still can put some stuff into rivers and oceans and things like that, but it has to be filtered before that. So the worst part, so to speak, are no longer in it. And yeah, there's a need for it.
So that actually, you actually were ahead of me in this because I was going to ask about the impact, the environmental impact, but also, like there's a lot of groups today, and there's a lot of movement against, like for organic, biodegradable, and all this stuff. Now, did the industry kind of adapt a little bit more of that those things? Like for example, are the filters biodegradable, for example? I mean, I'm not even sure if that even if that's possible, but there's a lot of innovation right now in all the aspects to try to help the environment by introducing some nature-friendly stuff. And again, I know all industries are adopting, some of these things. To what degree think, I mean, based on your knowledge that, that the industry has gone right now. I mean, yes, they do the basic stuff that is standardized, but do they do more in terms of just like, being ahead of the game?
Yes, for sure. And it's also super requested. A lot of people are more conscious about their environmental footprint. So some filters are biodegradable, some are not. Some are even reusable, and you can wash them and literally put them in an industrial washing machine and reuse them again a couple of times until you have to buy new ones. It depends on the application, what you use them for as well, and the material that the filter is made out of, so to speak. But yeah, it's a trend, and it's very big in the filtration industry because sustainability is a big topic in general and one of the main purposes that filtration serves to.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Now, there is a big concern. Well, at least I think there is in the I guess the airline industries. And the reason I'm saying the concern is that obviously if you're traveling for an hour or 2 hours is one thing, but if you're traveling across to the other continents or across the Atlantic or the Pacific. Or going south to Australia, wherever you're going, the distance is long, and now you're in this small aircraft. Well, it's not physically small, but I mean, compared to any other buildings, they're very tight spaces, and the air is basically recycled over and over. Do you know of any, I guess, changes or enhancements that have been put in place today to maybe tackle the topic of COVID or similar viruses and things like that?
Yes. So there's basically hardly any filtration system that uses 100% recycled air and recycles the very same air over and over again. There's a certain percentage of fresh air that is fed into the old air, so to speak, and mixes with that. So you have some air changes going on there. And you can play with that. It's like a variable, so to speak. You can use more or less, so you have more or less air changes per hour. And if you use more fresh air, let's say it used to be 10% and now it's 20 or 30%, and then you also increase the circulation, so to speak, so you have more air changes per hour too. And you, yeah, circulate it faster, so to speak, so that the old air doesn't stay as long in the same room as it used to. You can get it pretty purified, yeah. And I
Well, we're talking
believe
airlines.
that
That works in airlines?
yeah.
In a plane. They
Yeah.
actually, wow. See, that I would have never thought about that they actually circulate in fresh air one.
To a certain degree, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay, all right, that's cool. I mean, the reason I'm asking the question, obviously, people have concerns traveling right now. I mean, considering that a lot of travel is limited, but certainly everybody's eager to travel. And now you have to have the mask on while you're in the air, but still people are concerned. I don't want to be close to people. I'm not sure if the air is clear. I mean, I'm going to be suffocating. I'm not going to be, I have, you know, recyclable air here and I have a mask on. I am really not going to have it. So a lot of people would probably choose not to travel. So the idea is to share that, you know, it's still good. Wait, you can still travel. There's still going to be good breathable air. And things like, now, of course, we're not, you know, specialists in this or doctors, or, you know, we can give that kind of advice, but at least, you know, based on the industry, there are some real valid things and enhancement that are being put in place to kind of accommodate for these things, and hopefully the fears can go away. So I mean, you really give me something. Told I never thought that would be the case, because I'm just thinking, like, where are they going to get the air from? You know, it's kind of scary, but yeah, I mean, it's interesting that they do have to compensate and recycle as they go, maybe longer distance, that process is repeated. So that's pretty interesting. All right. Well, I mean, I'm assuming that's standard now in all airlines.
I hope so, yeah. Not an expert on, you know, the airline industry, but I hope that they, you know, just have increased the amount of air changes and use more fresh air or whatever, have level up their filtration systems and, you know, just improve everything and make it stricter and stricter and aim to achieve the best possible outcome and the cleanest air that they can possibly have.
Now, well, someone is watching us today and they have expertise in that. We'd like to have them on the show. Maybe they can give us more, but certainly it is going to be a topic that would be pretty much interesting to hear more about in detail. Now on, you know, we talked about different filtration, we talked about air, we talked about a little bit about water, but now the water filtration, it's the same industry more or less, but now it's just, you know, applications can be more broad because it's a little different, and it's anything that has to do with water contained anywhere. I mean, whether it's, you know, seawater, river water, mountain water, lake water, whatever, or just, you know, household water that's being produced. I mean, I know I took a tour on a ship one time, and just to understand how the water filtration, how they do the black water, they have different, you know, names for these things, and because they want to separate them, and then how they kind of neutralize them, you know, some of these things, and then they put them into the sea clean, and some of the, all the stuff that is bad for the sea is actually removed and kept on the ship until they go on land. So it's pretty interesting how they do all those dynamics. And so in your experience, how intense is that? I mean, that is, again, water. We talk about air, and then water is just as important. And, you know, you said earlier, I mean, rivers, and see, you don't want to just dump stuff in because that would pollute everything. I mean, if we have protection on a laser printer, I mean, we should have protection in our rivers, right? So to what degree you think that is being, you know, really controlled? I mean, I'm sure there's got to be limitations to what people can do, because, I mean, you can control as much as you want. There's always, you know, a risk, right? But what systems, you know, that you're familiar with that can be either used in a home or in an industrial building or in general and just in public?
Yeah, I think it's equally important because it's all part of our environment, right? Our waters are important, our air is important. We live in this world, and it's equally important. There's a lot of things that you can do with water as well, starting from, you know, filtering your pool, for example. There's a water filter in there that filters that water.
You're in the south. You're in Florida, right?
That's right. Yeah.
We're in the north, right? Pools are closed.
But there's public pools as well. They have filters as well. If you have an aquarium or whatever, there's shower heads with like filters inside, so your water is like less scaly and just, yeah, softer, feels better on your skin when you take a shower with that kind of shower head. So there's a lot of applications and a lot of things that you can filter out of your water. Water can have different pH levels. It can, you know, be more acidic or more alkaline. It can be harder or softer. So there's actually like a degree of hardness in water too, depending on where it comes from. Like on the country, water may be better than, you know, the water in a city or whatever. If you live in the mountains or whatever, and you get your water,
sure. Spring water.
Right?
Actually, I did try.
There's a lot of differences. Yeah.
You know, actually, I did have a good experience. I was in the Pocono Mountains, and there was a nice little stream. It was like just about spring, and that water was the purest possible water. I mean, again, from an eyesight, it looked pure. I don't know, but it did look like really pure, just, you know, coming down the mountain, filtered through the ground. And it tastes so soft and so delicious. I mean, while it doesn't have a taste, but really, like, you almost kind of build a taste for it. So you're right. I mean, and people buy actually spring water for that reason. Again, when it's put in a bottle, it's not really as fresh as it's in the stream, but certainly it gets to you to a degree.
Right.
But you're right. There's filtration on the fridges, right? Everybody has a fridge. I mean, there's water that's being circulated through, and you know, that might be one. It is a big thing. I mean, a lot of people buy their own filters. Actually, you can buy these little pitchers, you can buy these little, you know, machines to get filters. I mean, you can go to some of the large surfaces and buy your own water filters as well, you know, to just, and then you have people that don't have like municipality water type. So they have septic tanks, and they have, like, you know, water filtration systems from well water. That's another, you know, component. Now, those are like serious, you know, filters. I mean, they're not just light filters. I mean, they do have multiple particles and multiple, you know, components to make sure that the water is really cleaning up.
Yes, there's even different filtration stages, and each stage specializes in filtering a different component out of the water. So municipals, they go through a couple of steps, and they have a couple of those huge tanks where the water, you know, passes from tank to tank through different filtration stages until it's really clean and purified. So it's not just one step from, you know, dirty water filter and then clean water, but it has to be filtered a couple of times. And typically what you do, like, you filter the coarsest things that you don't want in there out first, and then you go finer and finer and finer until you're really purifying it to the cleanest level that you want, and that's how you do it.
Is that the osmosis process? Is that what that is? Because I mean, I've heard that word, and I still can't figure out what it is.
It's typically strategically directed towards the filter. So there's typically like a stream going on in a direction. So it's not just, you know, it's not just osmosis and the particles just distributing themselves with, yeah, equally or in whatever direction they feel like distributing themselves, but they're directed towards the filter, and there's some kind of a stream to just make it more efficient and direct the process, have more control over it. And obviously it's also a lot faster that way. So you pass a certain amount of water, a certain volume of water through the filters in a certain amount of time. So you can also, you know, calculate with that and design the process and optimize it.
They got to take a lead, right?
Excuse me?
So they take lead out and all that stuff.
Yes, yeah, they take the lead out. They take a lot of stuff out, yeah.
Wow. Listen, I mean, it's pretty intense, you know. And again, there's the stuff is serious, that people, these companies are, you know, they understand that whatever they're producing can have a very severe effect on other folks. And we hope that they do the due diligence, and they do have all the monitoring that needs to be there and the measures to really give us the best potential product out there. And we hope so. So what else can you tell us about just, you know, the filtration in general systems or industry to date? I mean, do you, like, especially in the new phase of our lives after COVID, anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, I think COVID has made all of us more health conscious and called attention to a lot of things that we took for granted, or we didn't even like realize that they existed and they're there. And if it stays like that and people are more conscious about that and about their own consumption behavior and the environment and everything, I think it's going to benefit all of us in the long run.
Well, I think that's a very true statement, and you're right. I think everybody now is aware, and to a degree that we were not before, and everybody is more conscious about it, and everybody's doing their part, which I think before we might not have been to that degree. Well, listen, I think there's plenty of content here that we've shared, and so now I want to just go quickly and close out with a little bit about you and the digital marketing world. So I want to bring you back to your element today. How, you know, what would you tell us a little bit about, just maybe a strategy or two that you would like people to hear about in right now in terms of digital marketing?
Yes. Always talk in terms of the value for people. So the filtration industry, it can get really, really technical, and there's a lot of numbers involved and a lot of engineering involved. And it's super technical. There's a lot of features that the filtration products have. And as a marketer in that industry, just like in any industry, you have to translate that into benefits and values for the end consumer, what they get out of it. So you don't want to, you know, talk about how efficient your filters are and, you know, what they do and what features they have, but you want to talk about that you protect people, you protect the environment, you make the world a safer place, you help people to live more carefree and to, not have to be worried about getting sick because of their environment that they live in. And just improve the world and improve the quality of life for everybody at the end of the day. So you always want to speak in terms of values and benefits and not as much of product features. And I think that one of the most valuable assets that we have is our health. So we should take it seriously. Everybody wants to be healthy and free of pain and just have a happy life. And that is a much stronger marketing message. And the art really lies within the communication of the people who work for the product and the engineers and everything. And then being like, the middleman to the end consumer and translating all the technical or jargon and the gobbledygook into things that consumers not just can't understand, but they also value it get the message. And that's really important in the filtration industry. And I think that's taught me, to do really good marketing for a lot of very abstract industries, for a lot of very abstract technical industrial applications that most people would be overwhelmed with, or they'd have a hard time to think themselves into and really understand the company and the brand and what they do. And Dragon Digital Marketing, we can really understand your business no matter what industry you're in or what you do. So we're used to it and
You can tailor it to the and understand how to funnel that message.
Exactly.
Well, Monique, as always, thank you for the opportunity, first of all, for accepting the invitation, coming back, and also for some, you know, we took you back into your old, you know, digs and your old, history moment there, and, maybe some nostalgic moment there, but definitely, I mean, you've given us some insights that, I personally have not known some of the facts you've given. Probably a lot of people may not have heard of those things because we're not involved in those things. And certainly, I like the last piece of advice as well in terms of just as a business, in terms of marketing and things like that, how to really approach it. So always great insights. And I'm still keeping up, tracking all the shows and all the talk shows that you're doing and the podcast. So check out Monique. She's very active. She's in almost every day in a podcast. So and different topics about marketing, digital marketing, different aspects. Her website and her information is on the actual show description. So again, check her out, check her company and her services, and give her some love. All right. So with that being said, have a great rest of the weekend. Hurricane H here. Thank you for watching the iHealth channel and listening on iHealth Radio. Monique, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure as always.
You're welcome.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.